what a delight to be here and to see the liveliness of the life here, and just really thrilling to be here. And actually, we have some people from our diocesan staff here. Shailene Kaparis, who is our controller and in charge of all things financial. She keeps us on the straight and narrow. And Tellison Glover, our new Director of Mission and Ministry Development. So this must be an important parish in our diocese. And of course, Ruth, having come from her position. Yes. Oh, and then Randy. Oh my gosh, yes. And Randy Murray, who's up in the clouds, taking pictures and being Randy. So this really great turnout from our diocesan staff here. And what a pleasure to be here in a parish in transition, a parish that is in that interesting liminal place, trying to live in the present with some memory of the past and some expectation for the future. So I hope some of my words will address that. Here on the feast transferred of your patron saint, St. Timothy, whose image we see here, but I'm going to talk about a younger version of him. I think particularly relevant because this feels like a youngish congregation to me. So some people are more known for those around them than they're known for who they are in themselves. Some people are more known for those that are kind of connected to them than they're known for who they are just in themselves. And we heard that in our collect for the Feast of St. Timothy's, which was really all about Paul. So take Timothy, for instance. When most people think of him, as I said, the first thing that comes to mind is really not who he was or what he was like. No, what comes to mind is the Apostle Paul, or in my former parish that was named for Paul, Paul was a patron saint, we called him the Opossum Paul. So that was Paul, of course, being Timothy's kind of mentor, Timothy being Paul's companion, Paul being that flashy, opinionated firebrand who in the book of Acts invites Timothy to accompany him on some of his journeys to spread the gospel of God, that God in Christ is a good shepherd. But Paul isn't the only person we might associate with Timothy, and our passage from the book of Acts just sort of glided past some other person. For in this same passage from the book of Acts and in another New Testament passage, we hear about others connected to Timothy. No, it isn't other men, so this is Timothy and Titus, so even Timothy gets linked with another person there. No, it isn't other men who would have been co-workers with Paul and Timothy, like Titus and others. It's not the men. It's Timothy's what? His mother. His mother, Eunice, a Jewish woman who converted to Christianity, and in another place we hear about Timothy's grandmother, Lois, also a Jewish convert to Christianity. Timothy was said to learn the Hebrew scriptures at a very early age from these two women. He also shared his conversion to Christianity with them. And if you go on the internet and kind of put in Timothy, you'll see a lot of these very sweet, kind of fictional pictures of little Timothy at his mother's knee, or with his mother and grandmother, you know, as they're looking over scripture. Some people are more known for those around them than they're known for who they are in themselves. And to be clear, some would argue that this isn't true of Timothy. They would argue that between the references to Timothy in the book of Acts and Paul's references to Timothy in some of his letters that some people believe Paul wrote, other people believe the companions of Paul wrote. So between these sources, we have more information about Timothy in Scripture than we have about other people mentioned in Scripture in the early stories of the church. In fact, again, if you go to the internet, someone has created a page on the internet all about Timothy entitled 64 Biblical Facts and Lessons from the Life of a Disciple. 64, I read them all. The idea being that you can take just a little information we have in Scripture about Timothy and come up with a sort of set of principles about what discipleship is all about. So this isn't what I see in the sketchy details on Timothy's life that we have in Scripture. In fact, I like the sketchiness of it. I like the suggestive sketchiness of it. What I see in Scripture, because there are other references from other from early church people about him, but I'm talking about Scripture. What I see is a young man, steady, earnest, reserved, from time to time given stomach aches. That's actually referenced in Scripture. Paul says, or whoever wrote the letter said, take a little something for your stomach. Given to kind of anxiety or something, stomach aches. A young man who was deeply informed by his mother and grandmother, and on account of this was respected and trusted in his own community. Because of course in Judaism, although his father was a Greek, the household is the place of primary formation that then extends to the community. So it started at home and then respected and trusted in his own community. So I see all of that, and I see a person who almost overnight threw his lot in with the fiery, emotional, and at times self-absorbed Apostle Paul. Threw his lot in with him, uprooting his life to travel with him, and of course, putting himself at risk as he assisted in the spread of Christianity. And the reason, of course, the color is today is red, is considered a martyr in the early church. And so what we have in the patron saint of this parish is not a flashy person who attracted the attention of others in that way that flashy people can. Rather, we have a young person nurtured in faith by his mother and his grandmother. We have someone homegrown in the faith. And as I look around this parish and see all the families with kids, we see a person homegrown in the faith, someone who was rooted in a household and out of that rooted in a Christian community. But Timothy's story is not just about this rootedness, for his story is also the story of a faith that left that home and family and ventured out into a world of risk, opportunity, and uncertainty. Our patron saint, nervous stomach and all, left his home and became such a companion and help to Paul that Paul was later to call him his son. He kind of transferred sonship. And at least in one situation, Paul said that there was, among all of his companions, nobody like Timothy. And so all that rootedness as a young boy and then as a young man, as a son and a grandson, enabled him to go out of his home and his hometown to become someone else's son, so to speak, in service of the gospel. And this, for me, is why we have the passage from John's gospel assigned for today, the Feast of St. Timothy. So you could say it's all about being a bishop, which he later supposedly became. And so it's all about the good shepherd of the bishop. But I'm going to take it back some. This, for me, is the reason why this gospel is assigned today. For it presents to us once again the image of Jesus as the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd representing the utterly dependable, self-giving love that we all need in our lives, like the love Timothy must have received from his grandmother and his mother. Because none of this is ever mediated abstractly to us. God's utterly dependable love is never mediated abstractly. It's always through other people. And as we know, when children get that through their families, they can do anything. When they don't get that, it's hard to do anything. Very hard to do anything. And so the Good Shepherd, for me, represents the utterly dependable and self-giving love he received from his mother and grandmother, and that we, when we have access to it, enables us, despite any nervousness, any kind of stomach ache or headache we have about life, to do things that we had never imagined we could do. The Good Shepherd, the one who knows our names and would lay down his life for us, just like a good parent would. The Good Shepherd, the one who shows us what giving our love to others looks like. That, you know, giving our love is laying down our life for another. So I wonder, people of St. Timothy's, where are you as individuals or as a parish most in touch with that utterly dependable, self-giving love of God, especially as you're in transition? Where do you as an individual feel most called by name and known? Or to draw on Timothy's own life, who are the mothers, the grandmothers, or the others in your life or in the life of this parish who have rooted you, who have mediated the unconditional love of God to you? Where can you be in touch with that sort of dependability? And right along with this, into what place in the world are you being led, just like Timothy? Into what situation as an individual, into what situation as a parish church are you being asked to take the utterly dependable love you've been given and to shine it out to others? And just to connect it again to the little we believe we know about Timothy, what stomach ache, what headache are you being asked to learn to live with and to tend to as you do this? I love that image of him as a little anxious boy. And all that even a little anxious boy can do. So at the last diocesan confirmation, you were there. So I'm a believer, and once you got a story that you love and that says something, you just don't be afraid to retell it, because even if you've heard it before, I mean, even as kids, you know, when my children were little, we did the same story over and over and over again, not new ones. It was always Baybar the elephant. Do you know the book? And the Wicked Hunter and all of that. So here's a story I told because it was Good Shepherd Sunday, that Sunday at the diocesan confirmation. And it's about seeing in action the rootedness in the utterly dependable love, that on the one hand, and being led out to do something difficult at the same time at the child level. I want to tell this story again because it's apropos, I believe, to this different celebration of the Feast of St. Timothy and what should rightfully be the gift that this parish offers to its own and through them to the world. Once when I was in Stanley Park, I saw a mother with two children. One child, a girl of about 3 or 4, maybe somewhat the image of who we saw this morning up here, and another child who was a babe in arms. The little girl was dressed in boots and a jacket and a bright pink tutu, of all things. Despite her outfit, I observed, she was a rather reserved child, one perhaps given to anxiety in new situations. At any rate, another older girl came over to her and invited her to play. The younger girl, very tentative at first, finally decided to enter into the play with the older girl, and after a while, the two little girls were having a ball. But what I noticed was this. From time to time, the younger girl in the boots and the jacket and the bright pink tutu, the one anxious, looked a little anxious about new situations, every once in a while, she would get overwhelmed by her older, rambunctious playmate. And what she would do was this. She would leave that playmate and simply go and stand by her own mother. Her own mother, who did not say a word to her, but simply placed her hand on her daughter's back. In other words, time and time again, the younger girl went to her mother for that reassuring, that utterly dependable and loving Good Shepherd touch. And time again, having touched back to her place of safety, the little girl returned to her rough and tumble new friend. That's what I'm talking about. People of St. Timothy's, people in transition with all the attendant anxiety and stomach aches that that can mean. Like your patron saint, God has shown God's utter dependability to you in the past and in this present. And I believe God will show God's utter dependability to you again in the future. And at the same time, God will continue to lead you out to a place where that utter dependability, that loving touch, will be put into action in and for the world, all for the sake of the gospel of God.